Hey, and welcome to Crippled System episode 280. My name is Andy.
My name is Nathan.
And I'm Dave.
Hey! Nice.
280 is not prime.
280 is not prime.
Yep.
Because it is even after two.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It was not the most difficult one to figure out, but it was true.
Yeah. So sorry about that for folks that were waiting for us over on Twitch land. I had audio issues with our podcast. This stupid damn computer that I didn't shut off on Tuesday decided that it didn't want to recognize the mixer anymore.
Take that, computer.
Yep.
Yeah, damn computers.
Son of the beach. That was such a good show.
No.
Yes, it was.
No.
Son of the Beach was amazing.
Trying to remember who was in it.
Nobody who mattered, but it was a great show.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
It was
like
a Baywatch parody that was phenomenal. And the guy who played the main character, who was like the Hasselhoff parody, he had previously done like a Geraldo talk show style parody, like a Jerry Springer show parody that was also goddamn amazing.
I think
it's called like Night Talk or something like that.
I was hoping you were going to go into him doing another Hasselhoff parody, so there would be a professional Hasselhoff parody artist.
But he was nothing like Hasselhoff.
There is one. Yeah. It's called David Hasselhoff.
Oh, yeah, there is that.
I mean, it's so like, how many people do you know drunkenly drink eat a Big Mac? Was it a Big Mac? Or was it Burger King?
No, it was, it was not a Big Mac. I don't remember
probably
what Burger
a Whopper. It's probably, yeah. While your child films you.
Timothy Stack, that was the actor.
Would I know this person?
It was Nightstand was the name of the show he did. You would know him as the main actor in Son of the Beach or Nightstand.
Okay.
Yeah, no, neither of those are ringing a bell at all.
I'm sorry.
I want to say that Son of the Beach also had Jamie Kennedy in it.
Best Little Whorehouse in Texas. That's a great show.
That's a good song.
He was the voice of Lampy in The Brave Little Toaster and all of its spinoffs. He was in Dumb and Dumberer in Scary Movie 3.
Dumb and Dumberer is a great film. Most people need to give it another shot. If you like the Dumb and Dumber series, though, that's the thing, though, is you have to like that series in order to like that movie. Because Bob Saget is amazing in that film, and there's shit everywhere.
Bob Saget's amazing in anything ever.
Yeah.
Oh, even the things that were terrible that he was in, such as,
just about everything you've mentioned so far. Oh, no, I thought you were talking about the guy that was in the Son of a Beach thing.
Fuck you. Everything I've mentioned so far was great. Timothy Stack was also himself in My Name is Earl.
Just as himself?
Yeah, he was TV's Tim Stack.
Okay.
I remember that because he would be on there and he'd act like a big celebrity, like he was too good for him and everything, and that was the joke because who the hell cares who Tim Stack is?
Oh, sure. That's an underrated show, though, too.
It's garbage because Tim Stack was in it, says you.
Well, yeah, that's true.
Bullshit.
Okay.
Do we have announcements?
No.
I don't know. War Machine Vacation started at Lock and Load. I mean, that's basically how I feel. I was really excited. I kind of agree with some of the posts I've seen. I'm really excited to make things under the new thing. But right now, there's no rules to
all
make,
of yeah
make
all of your
lists.
All of your lists become invalid in a month. So
yeah, so it just really hasn't. I had a lot of motivation at the end of Lock and Load to be like, I want to go and play, and then I sat in front of War Room for about like 20 minutes going, I don't want to play. Until I get a new list builder.
Yeah.
Hopefully. Not War Room. Wait, no, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully Conflict Chamber will be updated like the second that goes live.
Ah, it's got to be better for you, though. I mean, the fact where, you don't have to worry about maths and RD things.
I mean,
and have to worry about things not counting towards points and shit like that.
You see, that code's already been written.
I know.
So it kind of doesn't matter.
Yeah, I know. But I mean, it's, going forward, it's got to be at least halfway decent.
Well, I mean, several months ago, I actually took the time to sit down and work out a mathematically rigorous solution to the free card selection.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Which is like, I will say, as somebody that has written a list builder and all of this, that is the only part of it that I wouldn't assign as a project to a sophomore level software engineering course, which I taught in the past. And, you know, maybe it's not a coincidence that that's one of the things that War Room never even attempted in the first place.
Mm. Now I can read.
Yes, Arctic Circle asked about not having to worry about points. The way that list design is going to happen starting in the Oblivion era, which should start at Gen Con, is at you get requisition points, and the theme tells you what you can get for a requisition point. Mm-hmm. And at a 25-point game, you get one requisition point. At a 50-point game, you get two. And at a 75, you get three. And that's it. And, we are hoping that there are some more modifications to the theme, because if Harbinger can, in faithful masses, still get three free units of initiates with her three requisition points, and then take two adjudicators on top of that, things will be very fucking broken.
Yeah, but, I mean, it may be, we don't know what the requisitions bring, though.
Yeah.
And what that list is.
Yeah, that's I'm assuming there are going to be some changes, like initiates will no longer be a requisition model.
Yeah.
Also, I will say that the one thing about the requisition that really annoys me is that since in the way the themes were set up, there was no actual terms for models that count towards free cards and free cards, that I called all of the models that count towards free cards as required and abbreviated that by REQ. And so now the source code for Conflict Chamber is labeled for RICs, that now
requirement versus requisition.
Yeah. So our now looks like an abbreviation for the exact opposite thing it means. So Arctic Glass is War Machine going to Mark IV. No. I mean, well, technically we're not in Mark III. Because that was only some people on Privateer Press staff actually are comfortable calling it Mark III.
Yeah, it's still the new edition.
Yeah, it's still, I mean, it is.
It's a remix at most, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, we're basically a remix of a remix. I don't think it from
it's
the current.
It's a new edition.
Yeah.
It's a 3.1.
Sort of the idea, as far as I can tell, the idea in Privateer Press is that there will never be a Mark IV, because we're technically not in a Mark III anyway, that the game is going to change gradually over time. And so this is like the biggest change since what we call Mark III has come out.
I would say probably the biggest change since they introduced themes to Mark III.
It's one way or the other. Yeah, I mean, around there, because this is a similar, or at least it is similar to a similar shift in the game itself and the meta from when themes first came out.
Not to be mean or anything, but I did find it funny though that Privateer was saying that the Warcaster Ex Machina, whatever, or what is it called? Nathan?
Neo Machina.
So they're saying that is their second tabletop miniature game that they've ever made. But I do remember them winning some awards for a certain game called Hordes. That was a tabletop miniature game that they made. It just so happened it was compatible with War Machine. It was just like, nah. You get combined into the War Machine book, and then you just lose all of your existence.
Also, even if you do that, even if you say War Machine Hordes is one tabletop miniatures game,
yep.
That still makes Neo Machina their third miniatures game, because I just had a tournament for their second miniatures game yesterday.
Well, but no, that one was collectible.
No, it's not. It is currently a miniatures game.
Yeah, it is a miniatures game. So that is a second. Yeah, so technically.
Like, is their fourth?
Fourth miniatures game, yep.
Fifth, Company of Iron.
I was about to say, do you count Company of Iron?
I count Company of Iron as being
an alternate rule set.
Alternate rule set for a War Machine.
Fine, but you have War Machine. You have Hordes. If you don't count Hordes because it's so compatible, it counts as part of War Machine, you still fucking have the current version of Monpok as an active miniatures game.
No, wait, it'll be sixth because Riot Quest Warcast is a miniatures game that is coming out before Warcaster.
Yeah.
That's a board game that uses miniatures.
I would almost argue
although
that
then I have to say that about Monsterpocalypse.
is really more so a board game.
Sixth miniatures game.
Sorry, I had a stroke.
That, but yeah, the original Riot Quest trailer can do that to you.
Yeah.
Also, I absolutely love that in Lock and Load that they mentioned that they explicitly tried to make the new trailer bad, and somehow it was still better than the original one.
Because ironic bad can be good.
Yeah, and I don't think you can actually try to be that bad.
Yeah.
I mean that just
being
naturally
that bad
occurs.
Being that bad is like in your soul. It has to come from a special place.
Yeah, it's like movie 43. You can't possibly make that movie. You just make that movie.
You shouldn't have made it in the first place.
Correct.
Like, that's not even... like yeah. Movie 43 is... It attempts to be ironically bad, but it is just bad.
Correct.
Kind of like Birdemic 2.
Yeah, well, Birdemic was just more of just...
Birdemic was ironically... like, but not intentionally ironically bad, right?
Yeah.
So that's the thing is Birdemic 1... like The Room was just bad, but in a glorious way that made it ironically good.
It was by a filmmaker who actually was trying.
Correct. And then that filmmaker retroactively tried to claim that it was bad on purpose, and as evidence, he made the sequel bad on purpose, which took away all the charm and just made the sequel flat out bad.
So first he failed at making a good movie, and then he promptly turned around and failed at making a bad movie.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That is wonderful.
True story.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we had an event yesterday for Monsterpocalypse. I don't know if that counts as an announcement or just a chit-chatty talk thing or a topic of conversation.
It's not a miniature tabletop game.
That's true. It doesn't count. Never mind. Fuck it. The end of that conversation.
No.
It's raining today.
You ran an event yesterday. You had...
there was a donut.
I don't know how
out.
To count how many attendees we had.
Yeah, because there's a lot of dropouts.
Well, and add-ins.
And
so... we had the first round, we had five people who played. No, we didn't have five people who played the whole event. Jesus Christ. So it started, and it was me and seven people. Because
mm-hmm.
there were six people that were there for the event, and one person who thought it was just a demo day, so they showed up to have a demo.
Yeah.
And so they weren't going to play the event. So we had me, a person who wanted a demo, and then six people. But then we had a seventh tournament player who we knew was going to miss the first round. Like, they told me ahead of time.
Yep.
So then Andy's like, well, should I stay or should I go? And I'm like, well, if you stay, we have six. And then that person shows up and we have seven. And Andy's like, well, you know,
I don't
Andy
be
was
the
willing
buy.
To not play. So Andy preemptively was going to drop so
yep.
that when that person showed up, we wouldn't have a buy for the rest of the tournament. Because if Andy played the first round, then they show up and then Andy drops and then they whatever.
Then shenanigans.
So Andy dropped from the tournament and played a demo game against the person who wanted a demo. And then I just played some board games and stuff with the buy. But then round two, we'd have six people, so we wouldn't have buys anymore. So then round two, the sixth, now eighth person showed up.
Yep.
But one of the starting people had to leave, so that put us back down to five anyway. But then since Andy had already dropped and was sick, Andy didn't then hop in and become a new
nope.
sixth person. So it was weird. We had nine people for a five-person tournament.
No, I just wasn't feeling well yesterday after my stinging loss in the demo I gave.
Oh, and well, you should have positioned yourself where you wouldn't keep getting damaged by fun and exciting power attacks by the new player.
Yeah, damn it. Oh, no.
What a fool I am.
I sure as heck showed him where he could throw my character, and then I proceeded to move out of there so he could throw me back into that same space multiple times. Yeah.
But in general, the event went well. The keynote, like the Monpok keynote that Oz did at Lock and Load, there was a lot of interesting stuff about upcoming models, upcoming factions, possible changes to the games, etc. One of the things he mentioned in that was limiting the monster turn of the first player.
Mm-hmm.
So we tried out the simplest version of what we thought that would mean. It actually went really well, so that was interesting. It was a lot of fun. Good stuff. Keith Christensen ended up winning with a Kraken Octus and Zor Maxim pairing, which is going to get really scary once his interceptor and the what's the name of the fucking flower that the Shadow Sun have? Whatever. The teleportation pod thing that they put out. It has a different name, but I can't remember right now. Because he has the Shadow Sun buildings, and then the strategy is that a interceptor flies into a Shadow Sun building and out of Zormaxim's crotch and flies, so it's 3/4 of the way across the board, and then it poops out a flower.
Hmm? Is it crotch? I thought we had decided that they come out of his armpits.
It comes out of wherever they want to come out of. So an interceptor goes through the Shadow Sun and out of Zormaxim's crotch and flies to 3/4 of the way across the board. Then it drops a flower that then advances, so now it's just in your back lines, and then like 3 rocket apes come flying out of that flower and just annihilate your entire back line. So that'll be good and fun and enjoyable to play against. So fuck that list.
Yeah. Leave it to Keith.
Well, I do have concerns about Josh's thing, which is if you make a list with Armadax and General Hondo and just like 12 incombustible buildings, like 4 Tokyo Triumphs at the very least, and then just don't die, you could definitely clock your opponent. Like, that's the new version of Terminus and 1,000 Mechanithralls.
No. Yeah. Not happy.
Yeah. Well, you know.
I got some old school Mompox stuff I can give you if you don't have it already.
Maybe. I don't know. Those don't look like...
Like, I have another Terracon in here.
Shaka
Khan? Another Mega Terracon.
I think I love you, Terracon. Fear for you.
I know I've got another one of these guys.
But he's not Triceratops because he doesn't have the 2 mega... frill horns. He's almost like a weird half Triceratops, half Protoceratops.
Tyrannix. Yeah, that's...
Sure, but I'm just looking at compared on real dinosaurs. Like he, I guess he does have 2 tiny horns above his eyes, so he is a Triceratops. It just, it's not to the scale that they normally are. Oh, but then he has a spike tail. You're not zoologically accurate at all, Kaiju.
He comes out of an egg, so, I mean, that's...
He comes out of 4 eggs, doesn't he?
No, just 1 egg.
Oh.
It's just 1 truck with an egg, and then the other ones have got just...
Oh, that's right. They're trucks. Like the trucks that protect it.
Yeah.
I forgot that was the Morpher one with the turtle wagons.
That's the Green Fury one.
Shadow Gates. Thanks, Nick. Chat, it reminded me that the flowers are technically called Shadow Gates, but to hell with that noise.
So what I'm thinking of doing is grabbing some of the old school Mompok guys, like for my Cthulhu. They can't make out with themselves. That
sure
doesn't work
can.
Out that way.
Why not?
You can't make out with another form of yourself.
If you're going to duplicate yourself, I mean...
The same matter cannot occupy the same space.
They love each other.
But no, I was thinking of taking like some of the Cthulhu beasts that I have and then adding them to the bases of the modern Cthulhu things.
Yeah, sure.
So, like, you can have, like, because the Skixes are freaking huge mm-hmm. compared to the old ones, and you can have a couple of the old ones on the base itself. Therefore, it just adds.
Or, like, on the monsters as well. Like, you can have Skixes, you know, like, hanging out on your chef's shoulders or whatever.
Or having them surrounding buildings and that. I was seriously thinking of, and I'm probably still going to make a full-on Cthulhu board. For Mompok, try to copy one of the maps over and then just build it.
Yeah.
I think it'd be look awesome.
Man, I don't remember what all these rules mean.
I had to look them up, mainly because I'm trying to find him right now, is the worst character in the world. He's
in here. Who's the worst character in the world?
Who's the worst character?
Who's your worst character? Yes, you is. Yes, you is.
Oh, that was my monkey boy. No, not him. Yeah, him. Oh, my God. Gakura, that was his name. I was trying to remember it yesterday.
Gakura?
Yeah, swinging that fucking train. He'll wreck your shit all day, every day.
As you can tell, I was one of the, like Nathan, we were one of the few last players to play Mompok, so we have the mega versions of those.
Do you have a Grape Ape?
No, I don't have the Quantum.
I think I might have a Grape Ape. I'd have to double check when I get home. I remember having one.
I got a Mega Terracon, though.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to Mega Terracon coming out in the current game.
Yeah. If some bastard in Milwaukee doesn't bring him over to us.
you know, he's busy. He has
a
life.
Busy. He's got family. He's pretending that he's eating at Hoo Hot by taking old photographs and just pictures of stir fry.
Sure. Yeah, that makes perfect sense. Yeah. That's exactly what he did, was fake a Hoo-Hot visit.
Yeah, I mean, that photoshopping that would literally take longer than just driving to Hoo-Hot. Yeah.
No, he just used an old picture of it. He could have used any stock photograph. So that's why you have to take a selfie with them, so then it shows that you are actually there.
Oh, yeah. Sure. Yeah.
I don't believe Travis actually went. I think it's a stock photograph. I think it's off of the Hoo-Hot's website.
Sure. That makes sense.
No. It does. Completely.
That's, you know, I mean, I can think of nothing else that makes more sense than that.
All right, I don't know where this fucker is, but I had him. I've got these guys, too. I got all the subterranean guys. And I have the Mega. Yep. I didn't realize how old Cracktonoctus is, or not how old, but how new he is technically in Monsterpocalypse version 1. Because he doesn't exist. I mean, he's part of the final wave.
Yeah, he was in like the big in Japan wave, yep. Right? Yeah.
All the mole people are the best.
Drillcon. Yeah, dudes with drill hands and a little wiener butt.
Yeah.
He's got a little tail. It's a little creepy. Could see his coccyx. You're still looking for the worst character ever?
Yeah,
I'm excited to see who the worst character ever is, because I don't know who it is. Speaking of which, just as a side note, speaking of worst anything's ever, and speaking of Monsterpocalypse, it is my current stance that Carnotrons are the worst model in any miniatures game I have ever played in my life.
Carnotrons?
Why? Carnotrons?
Why Carnotrons?
Well, they have the worst stat line of any melee unit in the game.
Okay.
They have the worst stat line of any ranged unit in the game.
Okay.
They have the worst stat line of any unit that can do both in the game. And their only special ability is that you can waste your dice faster.
That seems reasonable.
They are complete useless garbage.
I don't know. I think if that's compared to all miniatures games, Tau Ethereals in 4th edition were worse. Because they cost actual points, did almost nothing for you, and your entire army could run off the board if you lost them.
Almost nothing. They did almost nothing.
Yeah.
Well, no.
No, I mean, an ethereal doing nothing would have been better, because if you kill them, your entire army has a chance of running off the table.
Yeah. Oh, Megazor Maxim. This was fair and balanced.
He was not.
So he and Carnotrons average out to a fair model.
I think he brings that average up even more, a little bit more than a fair model, potentially. I had to look it up on him. I know Radar Dish, that was extra range.
Yeah.
He had Leap. I don't remember what the blue did.
Let me see. I think that might have been the beatback ability, because I know that he had like beatback on his gun in the Mega. That was what's so broken about it.
Is that the gun thing?
I think that. Oh no, because the guns are up here.
Yeah.
He had like Weapon Master on his gun, and just fuck everything about him.
Yeah, he did have Weapon Master. I know that. He did have beatback on his guns. I think we may have not realized. Maybe there's something else in the game that gave him sprint that allowed him to run away.
Maybe that's what that blue thing is.
I thought I looked that up.
I don't know.
It's not like I don't have a whole big box filled with rules here, too. Fucking dice. And it's annoying that the maps are just two fucking squares short on each side. And actually, you can get around that a little bit, is if you're talking about placing your monster half onto the map to start off the game.
Yeah, because that'll make the distance between your starting monsters be accurate to what it is on the current maps.
Yeah. It is pretty cool. The old maps are still really cool, though. So I'm hoping. I think they started rebuilding them in the new form. Are you looking up the rules?
Nick says the blue thing is sniper.
Yeah, but what does that even mean? I'm trying to find the old symbols, but I can't. I can't find them. Oh, there you go.
I got them right here.
You figure it out.
I figured it out.
Because he wasn't one of the
Holy
wave twos,
shit.
So his abilities will be on there. What?
This is. Just look at the text on that thing.
Yeah. That's all fair.
It's just really
good.
Tiny text.
Yeah, it's an easy game. It's easy. It's, oh no, that's Infiltrate. Buildings within two spaces of this figure are minus one defense to attacks made by agenda figures.
Oh, so he still has that.
So that jump is like high mobility, and then the radar dish is going to be the plus squares. One, the extra squares. Yeah, like we thought.
For its range attacks.
Oh yeah, no, that thing on the top, that's beatback.
Yeah.
So he has beatback and super damage on his ranged attack.
Yeah, so that's what it was.
That shot from 7 squares away.
We weren't thinking a sprint where he could just run away, though. It was the fact that he was super far ranged.
Correct. Yeah. He was super high ranged and beat you back and was a weapon master. Like you were just never going to get to him.
His defense 7,
which is broken as hell in the old one.
Yeah.
Like you look at these other things, they're defense 6.
Yeah. No, Lykes or Maxim. Megas or Maxim.
Yeah. And blue infiltrate means that the entire army had it.
Yep.
And so just your whole army just wrecked buildings all day, every day.
Yeah.
But no, the beatback long range weapon master gun, it's like, are you shitting me? Eat all of my balls.
Because, you would just knock you back into a spired building that was also cause fire. Yeah. The only thing I really truly miss about Mompok version 1 was the different types of pools that the buildings would drop. So you would have the caustic pools that can actually heal the aliens if they go into them. Or my favorite is the music producer building. When you destroyed that, it left a portal to hell.
Yeah.
So you could use that as
Because, of course, the musicians had sold their soul to the devil for rock and roll. Yep.
So you'd be able to use that as a nice Cthulhu summoning ability. Or I think it was also the Fiends. The Fiends were the faction, right? Wasn't it? Because it was Lords of Cthulhu and then the Subterranean.
Yeah, I don't remember
uprising.
What the faction was called.
I think
they're
Fiends.
Or the Agenda, rather. Yeah. The Agenda.
But I'm hoping that they'll add those back into the game. The different types. Like, the nuclear power plant should not just be fire. It should be radiation or some kind of ooze when you destroy it.
The nuclear power plant does not leave fire.
It doesn't?
Nope. It just leaves rubble. It's incombustible. It's incombustible. Because you're right. It would not leave fire.
Around it.
Yeah,
it blows up everything around it, and then the safety mechanics all, dump the core and the meltdown's over. It kills everything around it, and then it's safe.
I'll put Zormaxim up there as bygone day. God, he's adorable.
You're adorable. That was my what's that guy's name? Impression. You know the guy.
Keanu Reeves.
Yeah. Yes.
I should break these dice out to annoy people.
I think they are still accurate.
I think they're still accurate, though, too, but not after like 6 months of play, though. They will not be accurate.
No, those rub off real easy. That's what she said. I do like the health trackers, though.
Yeah. I'm surprised that they haven't made those again.
David.
Yes.
Take the reference system from monsterroom.app.
Mm-hmm.
And then take the list building system from the monpok.net list builder,
mm-hmm.
and combine them into an app that I can download and have work on my phone or tablet when I'm not online,
mm-hmm.
and I'll give you a dollar.
Okay.
Thank you. It has to be free, though, so that Privateer Press doesn't sue us.
Yeah.
I was talking to Ben about that, about seeing if he could possibly make a Monpok app, but he is in with a different company to make their app, so may not be.
Well, you know,
doable.
What he does on his spare time is all his choice.
That's true, too. And honestly, I don't think most companies don't care that much. Yeah.
Nah, I'm just saying. Like, the one annoying thing about Monster Apocalypse is the fact that the cards take up more space on the table than the game does.
Yeah.
Yeah, I bought another building just to make sure I have 12. So, and I didn't realize that there's a lot of buildings you put onto the field. There's a lot more than 12.
Yeah, no, most maps I think fit like 20 because you'll each end up with 2 or maybe end up with 3 left over. Maybe it's 18. But so because you can definitely have if one person only brings 6, and the other person brings a full 12, one person's going to just fill up the board with their own buildings.
Yeah. I mean, so how do they do that for then the starter game? Is it just the 12 apartment buildings then?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it would just be 12 apartment buildings because each person would have 6.
Yeah. I don't like that. Needs more buildings.
Yeah, no, Chad, I would definitely crowdfund the app. I just have to find someone who would legitimately make that app. And David's facial expression was not somebody actually saying yes. Although I did say a dollar.
I mean, that is a crowdfund.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
A crowd of one fund.
Yeah. Well, no, I could like go on Kickstarter and try to raise a dollar. Like, I can have a goal of a dollar and then stretch goal to like I go out for dinner to celebrate that I got the dollar.
Well,
and then a second stretch goal where, like, I buy a car to celebrate that we reached the second stretch goal.
And also get chips for your salsa at home.
Yeah. Yeah, that I do need. That would be great. Just have, like kind of like the guy who did the potato salad, like, you know, where it didn't matter. But just have a Kickstarter where, like, the goal's, like, a buck. And then each stretch goal is just buying yourself shit to celebrate reaching new stretch goals with no additional benefit to the people giving you the money.
Maybe I'll add some Cuban to the potato salad.
No. No.
No?
I'm not going to copy potato salad guy. It's a new thing. It's like, I need a soda. Soda costs a dollar. Kickstart me a dollar. Right?
So,
and then if I get, like, the stretch goal at $50 is that I'm going to go get some pie. And then the $1,000 stretch goal is like, I'm just going to go, you know, on a cruise. Whatever. Just the stretch goals are just me treating myself to more and more expensive celebrations of reaching the stretch goals.
Yeah, that sounds completely legal and...
Yeah, it's perfectly legal.
Legal?
Yeah.
I don't have to give anything to Kickstarter backers. There is no obligation to give Kickstarter rewards.
Yeah. The only thing you do is you have to pay Kickstarter the percentage of whatever final part you'd have to pay.
I will give Kickstarter a percentage.
Yeah.
And then I could put up videos of me enjoying the things, and then I'm basically just an Instagram model with a Patreon. And then I can have the extra level of the Patreon where I do lewds.
Lewds?
Lewds.
What's lewds?
It's like not quite nudes.
Oh, I thought you were going to be doing nudes while you're doing like actual drugs.
No, not nudes. Just lewds.
Oh.
See, lewds are what the people who don't do nudes do.
Ah.
You don't follow as many cosplay Patreons as I do, apparently.
I definitely do not.
What about League of Legends? Do you follow League of Legends?
No.
Oh, okay.
The only thing I do is we play the Mechs versus Minions game. And the ninth mission into that game, where you have to escort a bomb through a passageway filled with lava and spiked walls.
Super good.
It's about halfway through the mission, we decided to try it at easy mode, which is just give the bomb like an extra 2 health or an extra 5 health, and we still didn't make it. It's a tough fucking mission. Holy cow!
Well, it's number 9.
Yeah. The thing is that we've been doing normal mode through the whole thing, or basically the hard mode through the whole thing. And we've been, it's like 2 of them. We came at the skin of our teeth. But that mission there is, boy.
I believe in you.
Mm-hmm. It's so fun.
The artificial is talking about apps and saying it's all auto chess and auto chess clones now. So, I mean, I know I recommended Dota Underlords, which is the latest auto chess clone because
what
it's
the
a
hell
fun...
is auto chess?
We talked about this last episode, didn't
we? Yeah.
We literally talked about this last episode because you asked what is auto chess and he explained auto chess.
Yeah. Did it? Did
yeah.
It? No. I don't remember any of
I
this.
I remember this conversation. Yeah. I think it was here last
week.
Yes,
it was here.
Was it here last week?
Yeah. Yes.
Was I doing something? Was I partially paying attention?
Because we talked about the tower defense games.
Fuck, am I... I'm
wait,
something's wrong with me.
Is the podcast posted online?
It is.
Okay, you can go watch it.
Yeah,
I can't. This is like when Nathan was telling me about Weird Al, when we went to see Weird Al, and I went to see Weird Al previously, that there was a guy in front of me dancing the entire time.
You were so pissed.
That I was so angry at him. I don't remember this. I really honestly don't remember it. I remember having a couple of drinks, and I was happy about the drinks. And I remember, you know, Weird Al doing unplug stuff.
Yeah. Oh.
I just, oh man.
But so, for our viewers that didn't watch, that weren't listening last week, and
dude,
Andy,
so
who wasn't listening last
it.
Week while he was here and like 4 feet away. So, auto chess is apparently, I say apparently because I played exactly one auto chess game, Dota Underlords, is a genre of games where you put a team together and drop them in particular formations on the board and then click go.
Okay.
And then you then the other team comes in and they the AI fights until it's over.
It's you play an entire Dota game or League game or whatever.
Just with
AI.
Okay. So it's like when I decided I was going to play Tecmo Bowl, but I just played the coach mode, and I just sent whatever team to.
It is coach mode of a MOBA.
Okay. Yeah. Now it's coming back to me. Now I do remember what we talked about last week, because then we went into Carnage Heart after this.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Yes,
I was more excited about Carnage Heart than I was about Dota. So.
And that is good, and as well you should be excited about Carnage Heart.
I played that for a while and was enjoying it, and then just really came to some realization. And yesterday or Friday's Penny Arcade hit this the same thing as well, that it would be nice for these multiplayer online games if you could actually play with people, because you play against people, but it's set up with limited communication because the internet is terrible, and there's no teamwork. It's like it's really that you don't have a team. You just are shuffled into a round with seven other people, and somebody wins, and nobody communicates with anybody else through the entire thing.
Mm. So there's no like.
Well, when you play pubby games, but like whether you're playing with your friends on Skype, like in a range game, that's how you're supposed to do it. But as far as like pubby games, yeah, you're right about that.
Yeah.
But even still, there's no for a game like that. I would like to have a game like that where there's actual teamwork. This is actually it's actually cooperative, because the way it's set up, there is no.
Wouldn't you just play Dota then?
Well, his point is like there's not necessarily like depending unless you hit the dang jackpot lottery, you're as far as like the teamwork and people listening to each other and everybody being on the same page and tactics and et cetera. You're going to have three random gibbering people who don't agree on anything, and they're all going to run off in their own directions. And if you're lucky, maybe you'll get the right people into the lanes at the right time.
Mm. Sure.
But, the problem is I don't want to play with other people, because either they're going to be worse than me and they're going to make me lose and fuck them, or they're going to be better than me, and that's going to make me feel bad when I make us lose. So fuck them.
I mean,
as long as you're doing what you're intending to do, I guess. I mean, like you're doing something.
Filling time until the cold embrace of death.
Yeah. So you didn't cause the loss.
That's true. Entropy did.
I'm trying to be positive.
That's my blood type.
Be positive?
I mean,
yeah, that was the joke.
Oh, okay.
I'm just a misanthrope, so I do want to play with other people, but I don't want to summon them off the internet. I want to play with humans that I know that are not terrible.
Right. Well, then that you can do. I mean, if you like get some buddies to play a game with you. I mean, we used to do Heroes of the Storm all the time when it existed.
No.
Still exists.
Sure. Kinda.
You're still putting stuff out for it.
Sure.
It's just that, you know what drew a lot of people to it was competition.
Yeah.
And esports and stuff like that. But you know what costs a lot of money? Giving away an arena full of tickets to people to come watch your esport. So, yeah.
So don't give away the tickets.
Yeah, I don't understand why they couldn't just still. I mean, it really honestly doesn't take much to facilitate. To get people to all play into the same game, it cannot be that difficult. I mean, there's folks that run Heroes of the Storm and Dota tournaments and that. You don't have to have an arena full of people with announcers.
Also, take away 1% of Bobby Kotick's annual bonus, not even his income, but his bonus, and you can rent out fucking Madison Square Garden for your championship event. Like, don't cry to me that you don't have enough money when you're making tens of millions of dollars in bonuses while cutting hundreds of people away from having a career.
Well, it's,
fuck stick.
Like Activision Blizzard, they announced that like they had the largest amount of money that they've made in years.
Most profitable year ever.
Yeah,
way
most
off.
Profitable year. 900 people, go.
Yep. So don't tell me you can't afford your esports. Don't tell me you can't afford for those 900 people to have jobs. Yeah. Fuck you, Bobby Kotick.
Yeah.
Fuck you, capitalism.
Yeah. Yeah, at least Randy Pitchford is only legally siphoning off $12 million off out of the company. So.
And leaving ersatz child porn into medieval times.
Yes, yeah.
She wasn't actually underage. It was just a model who specifically has a career where she looks underage.
Okay.
And is a magician.
Yeah, is a magician, yes.
Is this going to follow up with the anime character is actually a 10,000-year-old vampire?
No, it is just a porn star who's like, you know, 20, but she looks like she's 15, so that's her career. And she's one of those people who does the thing where like
magic. She does magic.
She does magic. Magic that, you know how people go to that one spot in Yellowstone to watch a faithful thing?
Like Old Faithful,
that does a thing?
Yes.
Yeah. She's a magician. She does a very similar thing.
Okay. Yes. Yes. Do you get it?
Yes.
Okay, good. Demonetized.
Yeah. Also,
no, I don't get it. Hold on a second. Can you go into more detail there?
I
don't know.
Yeah, I can mention that's not a real thing that anyone can do, and they're just peeing. Like, don't fool yourself. You're watching people piss the bed.
Oh, you're not supposed to give away those secrets to the magicians.
No, I'm sorry. Some guy on Fox in a mask needed to do it.
Yeah.
Say, this is the magician's secret. He's pissing the bed.
That
stupid fucking mask.
He?
Yeah, the masked magician.
No, but you were saying that he was peeing the bed.
The masked magician would pee the bed because, yes, the masked magician was a guy.
Okay.
So, sure, the magicians that normally do this tend to be female.
Yeah.
But the masked magician was a dude, so he's just going to have to do what he does.
It's technically not possible for a man to...
It's also not possible for a woman to do that thing. They're just pissing the bed.
I don't know. Magic.
Do you think they have second bladder full of magic?
It's magic.
Okay.
Magic. Randy Pitchford told me, and he is a magician.
That he is. Remember that awkward, like, 45-minute card trick that he did when everybody just wanted to watch the goddamn Borderlands 3 trailer?
Was it Borderlands 3? I don't think it was.
Yeah.
Or was it?
It was. Not E3, but the one before that.
Oh,
the video game awards or whatever.
Yeah, sure.
The thing. First, everybody knew they were going to do goddamn Borderlands 3. So he comes out and they show like 15 minutes of games nobody gives a fuck about. And then he does like a half hour long card trick that nobody gives a fuck about before they finally did the Borderlands 3 trailer.
You know what game I want, though? Mm. As we're talking about Randy Pitchford. The game I want is I want that demo of Colonial Marines.
Yeah, sure.
Because that demo was fucking amazing.
Most of the things that Randy Pitchford lies about would be good if they were true.
Yeah. Well, it turns out if you have another company do all the development, and then you're supposed to be the hype man for that company doing all the development of a video game, you can make a lot of promises that don't. But you figure he would have at least gotten, you know, like dailies or something.
You knew what he meant. Why you gotta fuck him like this? Why you gotta fuck him like this, Andy?
Our games are gonna have microtransactions in them.
Why you gotta fuck me like this? Goddamn Randy Pitchford. The only problem with Gearbox is they're not publicly traded, so nobody can fire Randy Pitchford.
I'll give Randy at least one thing. The thing is, though, he doubled down on his stupidity, though. When he mentioned microtransactions, everybody knew what he meant. Everybody knew what he meant. But then he had to double down on somebody who was trying to clarify for him.
Correct. And they clarified correctly. So he said something, and he said something nebulous, but that was understandable to mean a thing.
Yeah, Borderlands
is always
had. And
then somebody posted and said, hey, just to be clear, he means this thing.
Yep.
And then instead of going, yup, that's what I meant, he flipped his shit like an infant and had a meltdown on Twitter and screamed profanities at them. Like, it wasn't an issue. Just say, yep, that's what I meant. Thanks for, you know, making sure it was clear to everybody. I'm sorry if I was unclear, but we're on the same page. High fives all around.
Yeah.
Instead of, why you gotta fuck me like this?
Yeah, no, it's because Borderlands 2...
Nobody's fucking you, Randy. That's why you have to watch squirt porn in a medieval times.
We were trying to avoid what we were calling
it. No, like she
it.
Was drinking soda.
Oh, okay.
She was drinking ruby red squirt.
And then somebody told a joke and then she spit all over.
And she just squirted all over the bed because the joke was so funny that her mouthful of ruby red squirt just went everywhere.
Oh, so he's a comedian / magician.
Correct. Like
Carrot Top.
No, he wasn't a magician. You're thinking
Carrot
like
Top's
the amazing Jonathan.
No, Carrot Top's a magician.
He's a prop comic. There's a huge difference between a prop comic and a comedic magician. Carrot Top never like cut those props in half and then they were one piece again.
He cut them in half and then they were not in one piece again.
The woman doing Ersatz underage squirt porn on Randy Pitchford's thumb drive was basically the Amazing Jonathan. And I'm standing by that.
Okay. The sad part about that too is not only are you keeping that on your thumb drive, you're also keeping very...
It was an accurate sentence, David.
Very delicate...
I know, that's why I have nothing to say.
Right. I never thought that I could say that sentence and have it be accurate. Go on.
But yeah, the thing is, so besides having that video stuff that was on there, video magic. On there, he was also had all of, like a whole bunch of Gearbox's documents and legal documents and shit on there.
As CEO, you usually carry on a USB drive that has important legal documents and underage squirt porn.
Yes.
I'm sorry, Ersatz underage squirt porn.
Yes.
Again, because she was drinking squirt and somebody told a joke.
Yeah, yeah. Squirt's not very good.
How dare you?
Nah, I don't like
squirt's squirt basically just mellow yellow.
No.
That's grapefruit. Squirt is more grapefruity.
So squirt's more like 50-50?
So
then what's Ruby Red squirt?
Better.
Well, it's all... No, because Ruby squirt, Red squirt is grapefruit.
Squirt is like red grapefruit. Squirt is like Fresca with actual sugar.
Sure, okay. I can go with that.
But not peach Fresca. Peach Fresca is the best.
Peach Fresca's good. Black cherry Fresca's too good, too.
Yes, if I can find it. I think it's at Woodman's, so...
Also, Jim on chat says, what the fuck? And, yes.
Yeah. Yes. Exactly. Hey, welcome to the creator and, the person that brought you, Borderlands 1, 2, 1.5, and 3.
Randy Pitchford is a glorious train wreck of a man.
Like, I'm happy.
Anything bad that ever happens in Gearbox software is because of Randy Pitchford, and it's amazing. He has a brilliant ability to just take the smallest molehills and inflate them to PR disasters
and die on them.
But he's also brought us good things though too. I mean, he's brought us Borderlands, but he's also alienated everybody who's created Borderlands to not be with him anymore.
Correct. He brought us Borderlands and then physically abused the people from Borderlands.
Yep. The writer for Borderlands 2 is no longer working for Gearbox. Hasn't been for a long time.
Yeah, but I don't think that was Randy's fault. That was just because he had a goddamn meltdown.
Oh, the Randy had a meltdown?
No, Anthony Birch.
Anthony
Birch had an absolute meltdown because Anthony Birch decided that because he had a successful game, he was super cool and awesome, and so he wanted to sleep around, so he decided to have an open marriage.
Uh-oh.
And then his wife started having much more success at it than him, i.e. any success at it than him. So he got super jealous about being a cuck, so he decided to try out bisexuality as part of his open marriage just to double his options for who he could get with.
Sure.
And then he decided that men were all mean, and then he just disappeared from the face of the earth.
Well, I feel bad for him.
It was
slightly.
A hell of a meltdown. I mean, it was his own fault. Like, the whole, like... The forced open marriage because he thought that he was a celebrity and deserved to get lucky and have a harem now was just like, dude, that is sleazy. And then all blew up in his face.
No.
Ashley Birch is cool, though. His sister, who she does the voice of Tiny Tina. She does a bunch of other voice acting. But, yeah, she's cool. I like Ashley.
So, I mean, what did this guy do for it? Did he just, like, write the script?
Borderlands 2? Yeah, he was the head writer. He wrote basically everything about Borderlands 2.
Okay, but I mean, how was this fit with designer versus writer? Did he just do the dialogue and stuff, or was he responsible for the whole storyline?
Yes, the story. Like anything that wasn't programming, like if you wrote a script for the story and all the dialogue of Borderlands
it was
2, it was him.
Okay, so it was just so he wrote the storyline, the dialogue, but not any of the programming and not any of the game design.
Correct. Yeah, he's a
He's basically like what's her name that did a lot of stuff for Uncharted. I can't think of her name at all. But she was more so the just the she was the director slash writer for it.
I'm just I just want to say that yes, and it's like that describing exactly what he did on a popular game that does not seem like a terribly great way to pick up women. It's like, well, hey, baby, know. I wrote the script for Borderlands 2.
At the time, I mean, still Borderlands 2 is heralded as the best of the series.
Yeah, yeah. But I guess to David's point, I don't know how many head writer for a video game groupies there are.
Oh, yeah.
It's not like a Van Halen concert where the Van Halens can just pull tail by just like pointing at a girl and say, come backstage.
Yeah.
I don't think that's a thing when you're the head writer of a video game.
Well, you gotta get your bouncers to be able to do roaring kidnapping.
Yeah.
So. Or they just come out and it's like, you backstage. You're like, no, you backstage. No.
No, thank you. I'm fine.
You go backstage.
No, no, thank you. But yeah, I think he just thought that he could just like, you know, cock walk through E3, you know, finger gunning at ladies who would swoon over him. And then, you know, if he browbeat his wife into declaring they had an open marriage, it wouldn't be adultery.
Was he dressed up like Shay?
Yeah.
From, I said him, right? From the expansion for...
I have no idea what you're talking about.
The guy that's got basically the fear and loathing in Las Vegas guy in Borderlands.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I know what you're talking about. No, it's God damn it.
I forget who.
Shade.
Shade.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah,
okay,
yeah,
yeah.
I was thinking Shay like the pirate from War Machine, so I was just way out of it.
Yeah, no.
I mean, if you dressed like Shay from War Machine, you might get some tail.
Yeah, I mean,
chicks dig pirates. Like, I don't know why that's not a thing.
Especially at a convention.
The thing is, though, you'd show up as a pirate, though, and you'd have women swooning all over you. And then you would say, like, well, actually, I'm a privateer named Phineas Shay from a game called War Machine. And then they're like, ladies?
Where'd you go? But yes, as Chat mentioned, his wife's name, Ashley, is also a YouTuber. Well, and that's the thing is, I really very much enjoyed Hey Ash, What You Playing, which was he and Ash and Ashley and their dad.
Okay.
The episode of them playing Diplomacy or Civilization, and she just flops the giant purple dildo from Saints Row on the desk because she's playing America. So she has the American flag as a cape and this huge purple dildo, and she's like, you and you, and just flapping the big dick on the board. I'm like, yeah, that's basically playing the U.S. in Diplomacy. And real life. Good stuff.
Yep.
I'm about to begin. I finally beat Lilith, Commander Lilith, and the Saving a Sanctuary.
What? You fight Commander Lilith?
No, I don't fight.
Oh, you beat the DLC called Commander Lilith. I thought it meant like she was the last boss or something. I was like, spoilers.
No.
I might play that eventually.
No. You should play
it. I'm busy playing Bloodstained right now.
I will say, though, there is one more mission that I have to do before I pack away my PS4 version of Borderlands 2. After I did defeat it, there is a mission to go find a certain diamond pony.
Oh. Oh, cool.
But that pony is already in a previous DLC. Like, you can literally visit at any time you want.
Yeah.
It's an interactable thing.
It is an interactable thing, yes.
Yeah. It eats iridium and poops weapons.
Oh, that's why I could have got rid of all my iridium.
Yeah, you just go feed it to Butt Stallion and it poops out weapons.
Yeah. I'm also ridiculously overpowered with my Gunsirker in that game.
Well, I mean, yeah. Double, balance isn't a thing.
Double Uncomteriled with a B shield was kind of stupid.
Borderlands 2, you break the game, and then the second playthrough, the game is still broken, and then the third playthrough, the game breaks you. And it becomes unfun because you always have to carry a slag weapon because you cannot damage anything unless it's slagged ever. And so it just becomes a slog of slag.
Yeah, I went through the expansion with the Ultimate Vault Hunter mode, and that was...
Just flip to slag gun, shoot, flip to the weapon I actually want to use, shoot, new thing, flip to slag gun, shoot, flip to... Unless you have like an active skill that does slag for you.
I basically go berserk and I throw magic missile.
And you had slag magic missile?
Yeah.
Oh, there you go. Yes.
No, I think they always slagged.
Oh, I thought they just, they all had an elemental type.
Nope. No, I think they just slagged.
Oh, well, then that would work. So
either way. Through the third playthrough of Zero, I could get away with that. I could get through about halfway through it before I felt like I need to slag everything.
Yeah.
But that was also, then it's like, okay, and it's like, I am killing mooks with 2 and 3 headshots. This isn't fun anymore.
I would say the expansion for Borderlands 2 is actually pretty solid. It feels Borderlands-y, I guess.
Sure.
Vaughn plays a pretty decent part in it. He's from the series.
He is.
He is, yeah.
So
there's no Reese, unfortunately. I'm not giving away too much, but there's no Reese, but yeah. Vaughn's in there. All the actors sound pretty decent. Claptrap is still Claptrap, but it's not David Eddings, unfortunately. But they've got a guy that sounds close enough that it's, you know, you can tell it's not exactly Claptrap, but it's, you know, hey, the less he talks, the better. It's pretty much always with Claptrap.
Yeah, so I wonder when chronologically. So does this expansion take place before or after Tales?
I think it takes place after Tales.
Sometime between the events of Tales from the Borderlands and Commander Lith Fight the Vengeance.
I think it takes place a little bit after, because this is after Helios crashes.
Yes, this is after Tales. Okay. Yeah, so depending on how much they talk about Tales, you might have gotten some spoilers going on. But
probably. It's fine. I've got Tales going, and that's going to be coming out soon. But I was overall really happy with the villain. The villain for this is really good. He reminds me so much of Sergeant Knox.
Oh.
And Sergeant Knox was fucking amazing. He's like, just like him waking up and like, I hate being here. I guess I'm just going to have to kill you, you know, and that's kind of how this villain is. He's very, that same kind of just gruff villain.
Sure.
Voice.
Neat.
Yeah.
So. None of us saw Spider-Man. That came out this weekend, and I just kind of didn't care.
No, it's out.
Or is it next
tomorrow.
Weekend? Tomorrow?
Tuesday.
Comes out on a Monday?
It comes out on Tuesday.
Tuesdays they come out now?
Why?
It's coming out on Tuesday because the 4th is on a Thursday. So?
So
they're going to milk that 4th of July weekend like no one's business.
Right, but I mean, they could just come out on that Thursday.
Yeah.
Like normal.
I don't know. It's Spider-Man.
Like, Tuesday's a hell of a stretch. We just skipped Wednesday.
Yeah, I know.
Like,
Wednesday doesn't count.
Okay.
Yeah. No, I haven't actually got tickets for it yet, but I'm definitely going to see it.
Yeah, eventually.
This weekend. I'll probably see if it's seen on Wednesday night or something.
Since
I can't make War Machine lists.
Oh, noes! I read what might be a spoiler, but it might not be true. And even if it's true, it's so minor that I don't mind that I read it. But we'll see if it's true or not.
Yeah, don't say it.
I won't.
Appreciate it.
Emma dies.
that's
not what I read, but that is
true. That's what's gonna happen. I mean, she's gonna die eventually because that's
we all die Spider-Man. Eventually, God willing.
Yeah.
What do you mean, Spider-Man? Emma doesn't necessarily die in Spider-Man.
She does. Well, what do you think of One More Day was?
Sure, that one was about Aunt May, but she's not dead in all the Spider-Mans.
No. Uncle Ben is dead.
I mean, pretty necessarily for all of the Spider-Mans, yep. Did they ever do like a what-if timeline with the Uncle Ben with the not dead and the whatnot, or is that just so critical to Spider-Man?
They've done that. They've had to have done it.
I mean, it was like, I think like in the early 2000s, they had a storyline where they brought Uncle Ben back just to make fun of the trope that Uncle Ben is the only character in the Marvel Universe that actually stays dead.
Sure.
But they brought him back at some point.
Yeah. Because I know like they did a Batman where Bruce dies instead of his parents, and so his dad like becomes Batman or something like that. That was relatively recent. Hmm. But
I mean,
I like it when the Waynes found a Clark Kent.
The Jim in chat brings up the point that, you know, Mysterio isn't a villain, which that is true. I mean, it's interesting that Mysterio's not even in this movie, is it right? What's this guy's name? He had a different
Mysterio.
Name. Was he calling himself Mysterio in the trailer? I thought he was
Mysterio.
Calling himself like Captain Punchy Happy Times or something. He said he's from another dimension, but you know,
yeah. It also goes by, he's a liar. That's what Quentin is. He's a liar.
No, liar. Captain
Lie
is a lot. Whose superpower is I lie about everything all the time. It's definitely telling the truth in the trailer. I love that people are shitting their pants about the fact that him being from another dimension means that they like they were angry about bringing multiverse into the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Yeah,
and they were angry because the guy whose superpower is that he's always lying all the time, forever, always lies, said something, and therefore it must be true.
It must be true. Fake news.
Well, yeah.
I mean, literally, it's fake news. I mean, yeah. that's something. Yeah, I mean, Jesus. If the multiverse exists, I mean, it is a way for them to possibly bring in X-Men and other things into this continuity.
Best thing about the multiverse possibly existing is that this Spider-Man, the Tom Holland Spider-Man, mm-hmm. it would be Peter B. Parker from Into the Spider-Verse, because our universe is that's the universe number being used.
We're 616.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which is where Peter B. Parker is from.
Yeah.
So Tom Holland is ghetto divorced fat Spider-Man from Into the Spider-Verse.
Yeah.
I mean, there's people talking that would be amazing if they would make a live action version of the Spider-Verse and bring back in Andrew Garfield, Tobey Maguire, and bring them into actual. And basically, you could bring Tobey Maguire in as the full on Peter B. Parker, though.
No, Tobey Maguire would have to be Peter Parker, because they show him doing the Spider-Man 3 disco dance out front.
That's
of
true too.
Yeah.
That movie is not as bad as what it is, but it is bad. I mean,
going back to being ironically bad, good. They're cheesy. They're cheesy as fuck.
Well, because it's Sam Raimi,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, all three of the Sam Raimi Spider-Mans. Like, anyone who poo-poos Spider-Man 3 forgets how bad Spider-Man 1 and 2 were.
Spider-Man 2 is amazing.
It is amazing. It's also really bad.
No.
Spider-Man 1 is amazing. It's also really bad. And when I say bad, I just mean B-movie cheese coming out of every orifice.
Okay.
They are so cheesy.
I thought Doc Ock was just fucking amazing. I just really wish that they didn't have to have Green Goblin every single one. In Spider-Man 3, I did really like Thomas Hayden Church's Sandman. I thought that was solid, but not really solid. He was kind of more liquid. But I...
Because of his abilities.
I just liked his version of His version of the Sandman was really well done. Venom was not really that well done, but I mean, what happens when the studio decides that
you didn't like that guy who's not Tobey Maguire, whose name I forget.
Topher Grace.
Yeah,
that was the thing that really got me about Spider-Man 3, is because I think Topher Grace at that age would have been an ideal Peter Parker.
But he sure is fucking Eddie Brock.
I know, and yeah. Eddie Brock is like the diametrically opposed in acting choice to Peter Parker. So it's like, wait, Topher Grace would have been a great Spider-Man. Why is he Eddie Brock? This is wrong.
Eddie Brock could have easily brought in Holly Long like we always wanted. Because that's who Eddie Brock, in my mind's eye, when I see Eddie Brock, it is Howie Long.
Yeah, yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah, I see that. I mean, that's basically what Eddie Brock is supposed to be. He is not supposed to be somebody that you look at and said, he would make a good Peter Parker. Yeah. It's wrong.
Even before he has the suit, you weren't given a wedgie to Eddie Brock.
Sure.
Right? Like, good Lord. Topher Grace? Yeah. Really?
Yeah. I think I need to watch it again. I haven't seen it in a long while, but it's, yeah. It's better. All three of those movies are leaps and bounds better than the Amazing Spider-Man 1 and 2.
Well, correct.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Amazing Spider. So the thing is, before, so the, with the three Sam Raimi Spider-Mans, Spider-Men, and the two Amazing Spider-Mans, with those five films, every one was worse than the previous one.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Until Homecoming, and then Homecoming.
Well, Homecoming was a new.
Yeah,
a reboot.
That's why I said those five.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, but Homecoming took it to like Spider-Man one levels back up to that level. Basically,
oh, I thought Homecoming was better.
Than that. I know, but I mean, like, it was, you know, where you felt really more excited for the character again.
Yeah, Homecoming was just a good movie. I mean, taking the Spider-Man out of it, it was just a really well made movie, and then it was a great Spider-Man movie on top of that.
And then Spider-Verse.
And then Spider-Verse was just amazing.
It's just so good.
Oh.
It's
kind of amazing that like the two best superhero films ever made are both like animated films.
What was the other one?
Incredibles.
Oh, well, I mean, Incredibles 2, yeah.
No,
it's the best Four film ever made.
Yeah. Incredibles 2 is not the best superhero film ever made.
It's not I thought it was good. I haven't seen it.
Perfectly okay.
Okay.
It is definitely nowhere near the echelon of Incredibles and Into the Spider-Verse. Okay. Incredibles is a fucking masterpiece. Like, before Into the Spider-Verse, I would say with zero hesitation that The Incredibles, I think, was the best superhero film ever made. Incredibles 2 does not live up to that, but
sure,
it's okay.
Sure is the best Fantastic Four film ever made.
That is definitely true.
Besides Roger Corman.
Well, I'll say ever released, because Roger Corman never got released, and I don't want to get into that debate.
Is it a debate? No, it's not.
Hey,
it's,
come
it's
on.
The best. That's the best version of Doctor Doom that has ever seen the screen.
But is it better than... Is Roger Corman's Fantastic Four a better Fantastic Four than The Incredibles was the debate?
Oh, no.
So to prevent that debate,
sure.
I'm going to say ever released.
Okay. I was watching Fat Man and Batman. Fat Man on Batman, I think it is. That's Kevin Smith's podcast.
Okay.
And they had somebody on there that was basically saying, like, hey, if you could bring back somebody that was dead... into the Marvel Cinematic Universe, who would it be? And
a real life person or a comic?
Real life person, like to play a comic book role.
Gotcha, sure.
So I can't remember who said it, but it doesn't matter because it would have been fucking amazing, was to bring in Alan Rickman play as Dr. Doom.
Yeah, that could work.
Can you just imagine that? When the person mentioned it on the podcast there, I actually got chills. Just thinking of Rickman, just, you know, with a heavy accent, you know, lording over all of his Doom bots. Yeah, it'd just be so good. You could probably actually do Jeremy Irons as Dr. Doom. He might actually do that well.
Well, the other one that I was thinking of as Dr. Doom, and God damn it, my brain keeps going to the wrong person. No, there we go. Got it. Peter Cushing.
Oh, the original? Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like, just take Gynon off Tarkin, give him a cape and some superpowers, and tell me that guy isn't awesome.
Yeah, he would be one of the slowest moving Dr. Dooms I would see, though. But
well, you don't have to bring him to life as a 90-year-old. No, you can bring him to, like, you're just bringing him back the moment before he died? No, like, you can bring back, like, 50-year-old Peter Cushing, you know? You can bring him back then.
I wasn't trying to insinuate that Jeremy Irons is dead either, because he's not, though. But
no, just his career. I don't even know what that's as possible. Or William Hurt. Not William Hurt. William Hurt is the son. The other Hurt. Fucking Kane from Alien, and the War Doctor, and the Elephant Man. And mm-hmm.
John Hurt. Mm-hmm.
John Hurt. John Hurt. It's fucking amazing.
Jim says Spider-Man gets a lot of credit because it was the best superhero movie of its time. Maybe. I'm not sure. It was sandwiched between X-Men and Batman Begins, and X-Men, the original X-Men, I think was comparable, and I think Batman Begins was better.
No, I think Spider-Man came out first.
It definitely did, yeah.
It came out after X-Men, but before Batman Begins.
Correct. And so...
I don't think it was, I mean, it was a great superhero film for the era, but I'm not sure I'd call it the, I mean, I think Batman Begins was 3 years after Spider-Man. I think Batman Begins was better.
But it didn't exist then.
Yes.
Right.
Fair.
So it's not like people, when Spider-Man came out, went, it's okay, but in 3 years, Batman Begins will exist. Like, that's not how linear time works.
I know, but he's saying of its time. I mean, when you say of its time, you mean at its release date.
The real point was that prior to Spider-Man, the previous 20 to 30 years of superhero movies, apart from X-Men and the first two...
Blade
Batman
films.
Movies.
Blade also was in there too.
Before Spider-Man, we had shit like
Batman Forever.
Well, not even that. Like, you had shit like the it should have been direct to video, but didn't bother be. Like, look at the live action Captain America and the live action Thor, and look at that stuff that was made just with cardboard costumes with Reb Brown that just nobody cared about. Dolph Lundgren's the Punisher. Like, that's what superhero movies were like. Every once in a while, you'd get the Tim Burton Batman, and it would be like, oh, well, that's pretty good. Or the first X-Men, sure. Although, don't forget Storm in that movie, but. Apart from a few standouts, like Spider-Man really said, no, fuck you. This is a fun comic book movie, but it's whatever. Like, before that, it was, again, like you said, the Dolph Lundgren Punisher or the goddamn Reb Brown Captain Americas. Like, there's a reason that Marvel was able to buy back those rights for a nickel on the dollar. It's because it was garbage for so long.
Yeah, I mean... I would say that probably the best superhero movie to really kind of start almost everything off is Richard Donner's Superman. the original Superman back from 77. Right. Because that's that itself is.
Yeah, I mean there were the Superman movies that were good and really. I want to say they really introduced the idea of having comic book movies as a mainstream thing, but it was quite a while before anybody else made a good superhero movie. I mean, the next good one after that was Batman.
Yep, pretty much.
Batman was in 89?
Yes. It was about 10 years after Superman. Yeah. Obviously, they you know, with 3 and 4 being just not really the greatest films in the world.
Yeah, 1 and 2 were fine, and then it went drastically downhill, just like it did in Batman.
If you want to make Andy cry, you just put headsets on me, and I will just listen to the Superman theme, and I will cry. I will cry like a baby, because there's something about that John Williams score is just so fucking good.
I mean, it's John Williams.
When we were watching Weird Al, so the orchestra came out, and they were playing. They had a hard on for John Williams, though.
If you think an orchestral theme to a nerd based film of the last 30 years, you can't not have John Williams. He did all of them,
pretty much. Yeah, but because they were playing Indiana Jones, and they were playing some of the Star Wars things, and I was like, you know. If they want me to nerd out, they should play the theme for Superman. And like I think like at least the next song was the beginning chorus of Superman. And I'm like, fuck.
They could have done Police Academy. That's a great song.
Just thinking about that song just makes it's so good. I want to cry.
Yeah. Too bad the movies are all bad.
No! Superman 1 is an amazing film, except for the ending. I mean, at the time...
Superman 2, except for the ending. Amnesia kiss.
Yeah, I mean, well, that's how 1 was supposed to end.
I know, and it would have been dumb then, too. They're good movies. Make fun of the endings, and then make fun of how bad, like, 4 was, whatever. But there's some amazing stuff in the first few.
Yeah, I mean, for that first 40 years, it was like, okay, they had a couple of good movies, and then nothing happened for 10 years. Then they had a couple of good movies, and then nothing happened for 10 years. Because, I mean, it was 77 Superman, 89 to Batman, and then X-Men in 2000.
But that's the point. It wasn't nothing happened for 10 years. It's that for 10 years, we had that live-action Flash show, or the Captain Americas and the Thors. Like, there was stuff coming out, and it was all laughably bad shovelware.
Yeah, nothing good came
that's
out.
The point to that first Sam Raimi Spider-Man was that, I mean, and again, it wasn't unique.
It
appealed, because the bat, you know, but yes, X-Men was only 2 years before it, but for some reason, it helped show people, fuck you, let's have Superman movies. And really, you can point to that as being, along with X-Men, that was the renaissance of superhero movies.
Oh, yeah, it's, 100%.
It goes to this day.
Yeah.
It's the one that appeals to the greater audience.
Yeah.
Like, everybody and their mother can go and watch Spider-Man. Not everybody and their mother went to go see Batman Begins or X-Men.
Yeah.
I mean, the diehard fanboys, they went to go see X-Men.
That's true.
And the folks that, you know, were somewhat interested in Batman went to go see Batman. But it wasn't... I don't feel like Batman and X-Men were
comparing the box office returns for X-Men and Spider-Man would be a big thing, because you're right. Like, X-Men was as a nerd fan, as a superhero, as a comic book guy, I'm like, yeah, X-Men was pretty good, and I went and go saw it with my nerd friends. But like you said, that's who went and saw it. Spider-Man did seem to break out of that and just be everybody went and saw Spider-Man.
Correct.
That's a good point.
Let's see. All right, X-Men, box office, $300 million.
And Spider-Man was actually, that was actually like 2001?
2002.
Is it 2002?
Yeah. I double-checked because I was curious if David was going off of memory or had double-checked, and either he has a good memory or had double-checked, and it was indeed X-Men was 2000, Spider-Man was 2002, and Batman Begins was 2005.
Yeah, I kind of viewed X-Men as the movie that really kicked that off, sort of the modern era of superhero
films. Point is your years were so accurate, I wasn't sure if you had checked it before you stated those years, or you were just that accurate to two years and 3 years apart.
I had checked it because my recollection was that Spider-Man was like a couple years after. I thought Batman Begins was closer to Spider-Man than it was.
Sure. Well, we all know that. I mean, like, Iron Man is right alongside of, like, Batman Returns.
Yeah.
Or not Batman Returns.
Dark Knight Rises?
Dark Knight Rises. Hey, not Dark Knight Rises. It's the one with Heath Ledger.
Dark Knight.
Dark Knight, yes.
You know what movie's really bad? Dark Knight Rises.
No, it gives us so many good Bane quotes.
I had never noticed. I found out recently about the whole Bane meme thing, which is my brain had parsed it the way that I think that you're supposed to parse it in the film. So Littlefinger talking to Batman to Bane at the beginning, and he says, "If I took the mask off, would it hurt?" And Bane says, "Yes, it would be extremely painful." And then Littlefinger says, "Oh, well, you look like you're a big, strong guy." And then Bane's like, "Well, I meant that it would be painful for you because I would beat the shit out of you afterwards, right?" But that's not. That's how my brain parsed it, and that's how the lines are supposed to be. But the actual lines are, would it hurt? It would be immensely painful, enormously painful, whatever. And then the lines are, you're a big guy, and then Bane says, for you. And if you take the for you, and instead of having it modified the, it would be painful to have it modified the, you're a big guy, it sounds like they're about to start fucking. Especially the way Bane talks. He's like, you're a big guy. He goes, for you. So now I ship the hell out of that.
There's a sequence in there that's probably one of my favorites. Somebody did like some Dark Knight Rises outtakes, and there's a shot of Catwoman.
You mean the movie wasn't just outtakes?
Yeah, no, it's a shot of Catwoman and Batman is like running and escaping Bane, and they just get into the Bat helicopter thing, and all you hear is just a blaring Mortal Kombat at full speaker volume, and then him flying up and then flowing away, and the whoever did the sound editing made it so it fades away, and just Bane's like, seriously?
So, what was, yeah, Spider-Man's box office, you looked
so
up.
So, $300 million for X-Men, $800 million for Spider-Man, then $400 million for Batman Begins, and then Spider-Man 2 was a little under, was under $800, and then Batman, or The Dark Knight was $1 billion.
Right. So, and that's, because like, Batman Return, Batman Begins, I think, was real sleeper. Like, I think that movie's way better than people remember it is.
I thought it was a great movie that didn't get enough attention, and then The Dark Knight was just, even, you could look at it outside of the realm of comic book movies, it was a great movie.
But again, it's a similar thing, right? Where prior to Batman Begins, the last several Batman movies
were terrible.
So you have the Tim Burton ones that were kids' movies for fans.
Yeah.
Like,
there's a lot of fan service in those two.
And so it was still keeping that nerd thing. And then the ones after that were just hot fucking garbage. And so people weren't interested in going to Batman.
How
dare you?
I punched him.
I mean, the numbers show. And that's the thing is that Spider-Man was a fucking phenomenon.
Yeah.
An absolute phenomenon.
Yeah, I didn't realize how much of a jump there was between Batman Begins and Spider-Man. Yeah.
So for us, there was nothing necessarily special about it sandwiched between those two. Yeah. But for mom and pa average moviegoer, they only cared about one of those three movies.
Yeah, it was accessible. It was easily accessible. And it's probably, I think, Sam Raimi's best movie that he's ever done. As in terms of audience.
Like as far as like mainstream marketability or as far as success
for probably mainstream marketability. Because okay. I can't really think of another movie that Raimi has really done
that's in the
Spider-Man levels, that is.
I mean, Simple Plan might be one of the greatest movies ever made, but that's going way off of the kind of film.
Correct.
And it's definitely not a box office shovel popcorn down your throat,
it's blockbuster. It's a great Bill Paxton film.
Simple Plan is a goddamn masterpiece. Simple Plan is good.
Saddened that Bill Paxton's no longer with us.
Yeah.
Was it, what's his movie that I keep on... it's The God's Hand Killer, but...
Yeah, Frailty.
Frailty, yes.
Frailty is a great movie as well.
Have you seen Frailty, Dave?
No.
Ooh.
Bill Paxton and his two kids, he's a super religious guy, and he has magic work gloves that if he's wearing them and he touches someone, he can tell if they're actually a demon in disguise. And then he has a magic lead pipe that if he hits this person on the head, it'll incapacitate them, even though they're a demon, and obviously they normally wouldn't be incapacitated. His magic lead pipe will do it. Yeah. And then he has the magic axe that he can murder the fuck out of these. I mean, he can slay these demons in disguise and then bury them in his backyard.
Okay.
And so his two kids, and so one of the two kids is totally like brainwashed, on board, hyper-religious zealot, and believes all of this, and the other kid's like, and that's what the movie's about, and it's fucking amazing.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I should look to see if I can find it on Blu-ray so I can add that to my Blu-ray collection. Oh, it's so good.
It's very good. And had that great, the trailer was really good too. It had that great line in the trailer. It's in the movie too, but this great line. Oh, that's right. The magic gloves. No, I thought the gloves let him see him because that's why they're magic. Oh, well, whatever. The point is, you know, crazy guy and whatever. There's a great line in the trailer where he's talking to the kid and he's holding the axe and he's like, only demons need fear me. You're not a demon, are you? It's like, oh, you're going to kill your son.
Oh, man. That's, yeah, it's such a good film. So we should probably jump over to, did anybody look to see if we have any Zappities? I didn't actually, unfortunately. Nobody's talking. Everyone's.
Nope.
Well, you were looking at your thing.
Well, I was hoping other people would vamp. Da-da-da. Nobody's vamping.
Come on and vamp or something. I don't know. Whatever.
Oh, I didn't know the double clicks were playing tonight.
I'm vamping. Look at me vamp. Look at me vamp.
Vamp. Did you know that the double clicks were playing tonight at Pegasus?
Sure.
As a corporate entity, is Crippled System, are we going to go and purchase wonderful Pegasus games? Because they're looking for a new owner.
I do not believe. Well, we could crowdfund it. No. Arctic Circle says he asked one in chat that was not marked as a Zappity, so you can look for that. Want to reward our live viewers by answering their Zappazooples.
I don't know. I mean, I think if we tried to crowdfund it, we could barely manage a bowl of potato salad, personally.
So I assume that the Arctic Circle's Zappity is the Brave Little Toaster the best of the cartoon movies from that era?
What era is that?
Like early 90s, I think it was, Brave Little Toaster.
I think it was way earlier than that.
Is it in the same era as The Iron Giant? Because that's the best movie of that era.
Brave Little Toaster was 87.
Really?
Ooh. Yeah. Well, that's what Google told me.
All right. When was The Iron Giant? That was 90s?
It was 99. That's why, speaking of The Incredibles, when Mrs. Incredible is flying her car, her call letters are India Gulf 909er, which is Iron Giant 99 reference.
Sure, okay.
Because the same director. But yeah, India Gulf 909er is Buddy Spike, repeat Buddy Spike. Anyway, no, I'm going to say no, because as fine as Brave Little Poster is, that was the fucking height of Don Bluth. Right, I mean that's when you're getting shit like Secret of NIMH.
I was going to say if you consider Secret of NIMH in the same era, then no. NIMH was 83.
It was very close to 82.
Oh, that is
83.
Earlier. It's 82.
82.
So how close is the era? Right. I would not count Roger Rabbit. I consider Roger Rabbit a live action film.
Yeah. I would too.
Yeah. Speaking of fucking which. Did you know that's why Lego Movie didn't get Best Animated Feature Oscar? Wasn't even nominated? Because it has like 5 minutes of live action in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it was disqualified as an animated film. Are you shitting me?
Yeah.
Like, come on. You got to round one direction or the other, especially when it's that low of a percentage.
Especially when it's that good of a film, though, too.
Black Cauldron, I am a huge apologist for Black Cauldron, because I think that's underappreciated. But that's so that's the thing with the early to late mid-80s is that Disney was going through its dark era, right? Like, the Disney movies during that time are generally considered pretty weak, even if you have fan favorites, like if you personally like Black Cauldron, or stuff like Oliver and Company. People like Oliver, and it's fine. But until the Renaissance with the Beauty and the Beast and the Little Mermaid and Aladdin and Lion King, like, Disney was pretty low. I think that time period was really Don Bluth's time to shine.
Yeah.
Yeah, Secret of NIMH, fucking amazing. When was All Dogs Go to Heaven?
Let's say that was...
I guess I could just look up Don Bluth films. Also, never seen Brave Little Toaster, so.
Never either. Was he just goes to the junkyard and doesn't get junked? Is that the story?
So Land Before Time was 88, so that was only a year after Brave Little Toaster, and All Dogs Go to Heaven was 89. But yeah, fucking NIMH. Secret of NIMH. That might be my favorite animated film of the 80s as far as personal
taste. It's the one that scared me the most. And Nicodemus, you know, when he first makes his appearance.
Nicodemus is scary. Oh, the Transformers movie was 86.
Yeah, that's the best movie of all time.
And the Great Owl, like, that scene is terrifying.
When the
mouse goes into the lair of a goddamn horned owl and there's just death everywhere. He's just crunching on skeletons walking around. That Don Bluth did some dark-ass shit. Because his theory was you can go as dark as you want as long as you give a happy ending.
Sure.
So he would torment children and then have a rainbow at the end. Like, that made it all okay.
I wouldn't consider Totoro as being... I mean... Because that was
I'm focusing Western.
Yeah, I mean I don't know how many kids actually saw Totoro in 88 that wasn't Japanese.
Right, right.
Maybe
it's Anglo-centric, but I'm thinking Western animation. That's all.
I mean, Transformers. It did change the future of Hasbro movies.
That is true.
By getting it closed down.
They did the G.I. Joe movie after that. Yeah. I saw G.I. Joe in the theaters.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so G.I. Joe the movie, so Duke got shot in the heart by Serpentor's, one of his snakes.
No, what? No, he's fine.
And Duke was supposed to die.
Mm-hmm.
And they chose not to have Duke die over the fallout that happened to a certain Optimus in Transformers.
Well, also, I mean, Duke isn't a little bitch.
Yeah, Duke
survives. There was no Optimus who just dies like a punk.
There was no Rodimus Duke.
Yes, Dukeimus Prime.
Dukeimus Prime. I don't know. Yeah, there's none of that at all. But
you did have Sergeant Slaughter though. He could have taken over.
Did have like one of the best Cobra Commander lines ever in the G.I. Joe movie. It's like, I once was a man.
Yep.
Because he was turned into a snake.
Poor guy.
Yeah. Poor guy.
Poor guy.
Porg?
Porgy and Bess. Mm. Porgy and Bess.
I didn't see any other Zappity Grumbles at all, so that was it.
All right.
So we off to recommendations?
Yep. I've got notes.
You've got notes?
I've got notes.
Okay.
Nathan is giving me the strangest look I have gotten from Nathan.
Let's
say something.
Yeah.
As I'm sure most of you are aware, the Steam sale is going on right now.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so, yeah. Team Corgi.
So I was just going to recommend a couple of games that are on sale, on the Steam sale, and then I also went through several dozen pages of the under $10 and was going to suggest, was going to give a few picks for cheap games on Steam that are good.
Did you take a bunch of your games off your wish list?
Because you didn't understand how the game worked.
What?
The whole gimmick behind the Steam sale right now, like, mm-hmm. you have the team that you join, yeah. and then when you buy stuff, that team goes further. So first of all, of course everybody wanted to be a Corgi, so Team Corgi was going to win.
Yeah.
So they had to like adjust their the way that the system worked to like pad the winning team and improve the other teams, which then, what's the point? But fine, whatever. You should have just randomly assigned people to teams. That's how you prevent this shit. But
correct.
If you win the raffle or whatever, you get a free game off of your wish list.
Yeah.
And it's whatever you have ranked number one on your wish list. But when the communication first went out, it felt like it would be a random game from your wish list. So people were taking all the like $5 games off of their wish list so that if they won, they'd get the most expensive game possible. Yeah. So all these little indie games were being ripped off of people's wish lists, which was fucking over all the indie developers. They were just looking at their metrics.
Their potential
plummet.
Sales just go down the tubes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they're like, thanks, Steve.
Okay.
But anyway, that's not how it works, so don't do that.
No. I wasn't even aware of that team shit. I just looked at it on the front page and scrolled down. It's like, okay, where are the fucking cheap games?
Yep.
Anyway, Dark Souls 3 is on sale for $15, which is it's only a couple of years old. It is in my Dark Souls 3 may be one of the, if not the best, action role-playing game. I will say that within
role playing game.
I mean that's what they call it.
Around. You roll around.
Yeah, yeah. I will say that there are the other games in the series have better story and better ambiance, but I think just as a game, Dark Souls 3 is the best of them.
No,
of the Dark Souls, not including Bloodborne.
Okay, then yes.
Also, Bloodborne is not available on Steam.
That is definitely true. And if you have a PS4, fucking buy Bloodborne. But
yeah, yeah. Ahead. I mean, do that anyway.
It was
anyway.
Free a few months ago. You missed out.
But yeah, Dark Souls 3 is a great game. It is available on Steam for $15. The series has a reputation for being especially difficult and punishing. Dark Souls 3 is the least difficult and least punishing of the three games, and it has the fewest mechanics that are just really annoying. And
also, the difficulty and punishment in the Dark Souls in the Soulsborne game is overplayed by people hyping up what they are, and it's fine. Just play slowly, play methodically, dodge, and think you'll be okay. It's not difficult like a Super Meat Boy Twitch reflexes thing. If you die to some asshole who is hiding behind a tree and one-shots you with an axe, okay, you know he's there now. Just don't die to him again. You know, the next thing that kills you, don't die to it. Just run out of ways to die, and the games are not difficult. They can be, you know, you have to just kind of grind through, but not in like a grind, like grind for experience game, like other things, but just in a be methodical. It's a puzzle game. Yeah. It's not an action combat game. It's a puzzle game disguised as combat.
Yeah.
And that's what makes them fun.
Yeah. And the big thing I liked in Dark Souls 3 compared to the other two was that weapon durability it's still theoretically in the game, but in my most recent playthrough, I got low on weapon durability once in the entire game. I hate weapon durability as a mechanic, and this is one of the reasons that I never finished Breath of the Wild, because I don't like that mechanic.
I have a hard time playing Breath of the Wild just for that, too. It's like, I have a weapon, I want it to last, and it doesn't make any sense.
And yeah, I mean, that was the other thing that just really disappointed me with Breath of the Wild and why I didn't start. It's like, oh, there are treasure chests everywhere, but because weapons last for 2 to 3 fights, there's never going to be anything exciting in a treasure chest.
But eventually you get a dirt bike that you fuel with garbage.
Okay.
Yeah, true story.
Never got that far.
That's fine.
Yeah. The other game, before I get to the sub-$10 ones, is Slay the Spire, which I also recently picked up. And I picked that up on sale for like 12-something Friday night. And then the next time I looked up, it was 1:30 in the morning.
A deck-building roguelike?
Yes.
Yes, please.
Yeah. So, yes, Dark Souls 3, Slay the Spire are cheap. Get them.
Playing as the warrior, the rogue, the robot. What were you?
I have spent most time with the robot. I like currently I like the warrior the least, but they're all okay. I was annoyed because right before I left, I almost got my first clear with the rogue, but I screwed up the last fight. On the cheap sub $10, several games I will suggest. Hollow Knight, which we have talked about on the podcast before, it is in the sub $10 area. So is Darkest Dungeon.
Mm-hmm.
So is Borderlands 2. So is Into the Breach, which I'm not sure we have talked about as much, but it is a semi-roguelike puzzle game.
Mm-hmm.
It presents itself as a tactical role-playing game, but it is really a puzzle game, not a tactical RPG.
Correct.
Because everything, I mean, when every board situation you're in is solvable.
Correct. Yeah, it is. It looks like the Final Fantasy Tactics style turn-based tactical game, but as you said, it's actually a puzzle game in disguise.
Yep. FTL, which is by the same company that did Into the Breach and an earlier roguelike space combat game,
FTL
which
is
quite
a
good.
Phenomenal game until it's the worst goddamn game ever because they took a giant shit on it.
I must have played it before they took a shit on it.
No, the giant shit was in the game from the very start.
Oh.
You play the game, and it's fun, and it's interesting, it's cool, and you can build your ship how you want to build your ship, and maybe you'll do missiles, maybe you'll do lasers, maybe you'll have this fleet, maybe you fight by invading people and shutting down their air, maybe you fight by doing this, whatever, and then you get to the final boss of the game, and it just tells you to go fuck yourself.
Yeah, the difficulty level for the final boss jump leap is way too high.
A, the difficulty level leap is way too high, and B, 90% of possible tactics don't work on it.
Yeah.
So all that play how you want to play goes out the window. And even if you played the way it tells you to play because it's the only way to beat the final boss, you still are just probably fucked because it's way too hard.
Yep.
And that's so frustrating because I love the game except for that. I wish I could just have a version of the game where you get to the end and the final boss is just like it just explodes and you win. Because it's so not fun. But it's still worth playing.
Yep.
It's still worth playing. It's just, if anything, this is a caveat that it's worth playing despite that, so don't be pissed when that happens to you. I consider it a successful FTL run. I have fun, and then I die to the boss, and then I just start over.
Yeah. basically. I mean, that's honestly, that is one of the things that is that has reduced the longevity of the game for me, is just the that there are so few strategies that work on the final boss.
But there's tons of strategies that work until then, so have fun until the final boss.
The next one on the under $10 list is Rogue Legacy, which is also a fantastic roguelike, or roguelite game. Yep. It is sort of a roguelike Metroidvania.
Yeah, it's a Metroidvania. It's like but the gimmick being that when you die, you can keep some of the stuff. I mean, in general, that's kind of considered the difference between a roguelike and a roguelite, is the persistent level upping that makes it so eventually you just beat the game forever, all the time, forever, amen.
Yeah.
But it is definitely a good, fun one.
Yep.
I think I like those the best.
All right. And
yeah,
the
because
I'm having troubles with Dead Cells since they've updated it.
Right. Well, and so it's kind of a mindset. So, like, imagine if think Tetris, right? You start playing a game of Tetris. You start from scratch every time, and you play the game, and then it gets harder and harder and harder, and then eventually you lose, and the next time you play Tetris, you start from scratch. No one disagrees with Tetris being that way. But for some reason, in people's heads, it's wrong for, you know, a combat exploration, like a Dead Souls game, to be like that. What's wrong, you know, and so that's kind of the mindset of it, is for some reason it's okay for a puzzle game, but it's not okay for a roguelike, a Dead Cells. And I'm not saying that you're wrong, it's just that's for some reason people feel very differently about those two things. Nobody would say, I want to play Tetris, but then if I get enough lines forever from now on when I play Tetris, I always have a line piece I can bring on when I want to. And then if I get enough more lines, I always have two line pieces I can bring on. And so eventually I have infinite line pieces and never lose Tetris again.
To be fair, though, that the puzzle game, the arcade style games of start from the beginning every time, did drastically drop off in popularity with the more generalized adoption of consoles.
Sure.
So yeah, I mean people agree that that's okay with Tetris, but they don't like it for Zelda. But at the same time, a lot fewer people are playing Tetris like games.
Sure.
These days.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just weird to me that, I mean, it's not necessarily weird because I understand it, and like, I understand feeling that, but I can't find why there's a difference there. Like, why do you not insist that if you eat enough ghosts in Pac-Man, the next time you play Pac-Man, there should be more power pellets on the map?
No.
You know, like, no, you played your game of Pac-Man and then you died. It's over. No. I don't know why, but for some reason, it just is a different feeling in people's brains. Mm. And again, I don't think it's wrong. It's just interesting to me that that's part of how our brains work.
Yeah. And the last game on my list for suggestions, this one was also, I was kind of surprised to see it on Steam because I didn't realize there was a PC port. It was also in the sub $10 category, and that is Rayman Legends, which is actually one of the best, if not the best, platformer.
Mm-hmm.
And I would suggest anyone to play it because it is easy to get into, but it may be the best 2D platformer ever made.
I mean, it is definitely one that I would not tell someone they're dumb and wrong for saying that. I don't know if it's my number one, but I'm not going to begrudge anyone who it is.
I'm always hesitant to say this was the best game of its genre, but this is Rayman Legends, I think, has a stronger case than a lot of other games I really like in their respective genres.
Yeah. I mean, there's definitely other games that, depending on what you're looking for, like I just mentioned, like Super Meat Boy, like someone who's looking for like that twitchy reflex. Although Rayman has that too. Mm-hmm. Like some Rayman levels are really fucking fast, brutal, twitchy reflex. It's got it all, man. It's got it all.
The only ones I had troubles with were the big timed ones.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I got just about everything for that game. I've also done Meat Boy too. I beat that stupid game too.
But you haven't done your Rayman Legends dailies for a decade and a half so that you could get enough cool points to get the final achievement to platinum the game.
Yeah, I'm not going to do that.
I didn't platinum the game, but I got all of the all 1,000 of the, or all 7,000 was it?
Of the Teensies,
the Teensies, yeah, including all of the ones with the shadow boards.
That's the ones I'm having trouble with.
Yeah. Yeah, I got all of the shadow boards done, and I think the one stage that took me the longest was the 8-bit version of the musical stage through all the vines.
Oh, sure.
Because that one is just like having the jump or die when just the entire screen turns to static in the middle of it.
Yeah.
But no, it is infamously one of the most impossible games to platinum,
yeah,
because one of the achievements is to get to a certain cool level, and yeah, you can only get those by doing dailies, and the level they set it at is absurd. Like, you have to treat Rayman Legends like a full-time job for a year of your life to get that achievement. It's absurd.
But anyway, I play any of those games I suggested. They were all good games, and two of them are under 15, and the rest of them are all under $10. So go enjoy.
I had a recommendation when I came in here, but whatever it was can go fuck itself, because now my recommendation is Simple Plan and Frailty, because I talked about those movies, and those movies are really good. If you're only going to watch one of them, I'll give the edge to Simple Plan. I think it is the better film, but I do have a real soft spot in my heart for Frailty, but fucking Simple Plan.
All right. But I mean, it's another Matthew McConaughey film, too.
Yeah. Matthew McConaughey. Yeah, he's Frailty.
He's Matthew McConaughey in the movie?
Yes.
In Frailty?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes. Not Simple Plan.
No.
Simple Plan has Bill Paxton, and it has Billy Bob Thornton when he wasn't a joke. I don't know if he's a joke. Just nobody cares anymore. But it was like right after Sling Blade. It was like, yeah, when he was like a hitter, when it was like, oh, yeah. It might have been when he was wearing Angelina Jolie's blood.
I think it was run. Yeah. No, I think it was. I think that was after.
Was it? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Billy Bob is actually, he's easily one of my favorite actors.
Nick, I might be on the same page as Nick, where you can go back and get your I haven't played Stanley Parable for 5 years achievement. Stanley Parable has several almost impossible achievements. It has don't play the game for 5 years, and it also has play for the entirety of I think it's Thursday. So you have to play for 24 hours, and it has to be from midnight to midnight on a Thursday.
Okay.
Well, that's
just leave it on and stand in a corner. But
yeah, but that's like one of those weird – it's just kind of a weirder game, isn't it?
Yes.
Stanley Parable, isn't it just like you're kind of just like a building sim type thing?
You were an office worker.
Okay.
And then go from there. Scratch what I said. Play Stanley Parable. Stanley Parable is amazing. It defies explanation. It is art. It is art. And it's just fun. Because you think you're fucking with the game and the game's fucking with you because it's so well and tightly designed. Like one of the earliest examples, it has a narrator. And it talks about you like, Stanley mm-hmm. left his cubicle and he went down the hall. And it narrates as you're doing your thing, kind of like Bastion style where it's like, sure, whatever. And then you get to like a door and it's like, Stanley took the door to the left. And then you take the door on the right and the game, the way it handles it is actually like amazing. Like it does, it's so good. Stanley Parable, that's probably like $5 on Steam sale too. It's always cheap.
Yeah, we see somebody playing that. My recommendation, I'm going to recommend starting over and playing Dead Cells on the PS4. Because, man, I really...
$7.49.
I feel like I missed the boat when everything was overpowered back in the day, when you could take the Orb of Death and just go and beat the Hand of the King super easy. And
I beat it on four cells after the orb nerf.
Ugh. I don't know how you do it. I want to see it, man. I've been having the hardest time getting up to like the concierge on two boss cells, and I already have like everything maxed out, so all my weapons are all the full pluses and that.
I'll have to check it out. I mean, I think in one patch they nerfed the combo I beat four boss cells with, which was having the alchemic carbine with one of the upgrades that the important thing was that it had a random upgrade that added oil, and then was using the frost shards that had a random upgrade that did double damage to a poison target. And so it gets like double damage to a poison target and double damage to an oil target because it gets that.
Yeah.
Actually, no, it's guaranteed crit on an oil target. And I had it set up so that it got so that it had two other modifiers on top of that, and then two usage of the wave of denial. Which keeps you safe.
The wave of denial, I that was one of the last things I unlocked into it before I started back up again.
Yeah.
That ability is amazing. I love throwing people into walls or off cliffs and that. It's so good. But I don't know. Most of the combos I always went with is just the shorter time periods for traps. So you know, I'd almost be dropping them down almost instantly.
I did that. I mean, I think when I did the three cells, I went with a had one trap and then the wave of denial. And when I did it on four cells, I just had two waves of denial, so I could be cycling between using it to deflect projectiles almost all the time because four ball cells, like two projectiles will kill you.
Yeah.
The other trick that makes that work is you can go into settings and map both of your primary and your secondary weapon to the same button.
Oh, okay.
And so this is like the best thing to do if you have if you're going to be using both weapons constantly, especially like when you have one that debuffs for the other.
Sure, and that makes sense.
Yeah, and so that was how I saw that trick and first did it with double ice shards and then with double throwing daggers because both of those they've got it so that you can fire one and then fire the second one before the refresh on the first one happens, so you can automatically do it quickly. There are a number of weapons that it works on, but I found the alchemic carbine plus the ice shards just shred stuff if you get the right mods.
Just even dealing with the prisoner quarters with the stupid stealthy dudes, it's just so annoying. And then the reason why I'm restarted on the PS4 is because, you know, whatever, it's $25. I'm fine with that. But I'm going through the method of not unlocking things.
No, so, you can turn stuff off now.
You can't go through boss the cell modes with that. I can't go in and turn off certain weapons and that and activate it for two boss cells.
Oh, was that changed?
I at least, unless I'm doing it wrong, it's quite possibly I might be.
Because
I can't go into custom mode and do that.
Well, in custom mode, there are some things that you can't change, but you can, or at least when custom mode came out, that there was a set of custom mode flags that disabled boss cells, and then a set that didn't, and turning on and off weapons was one of them.
Yeah, just like all the foot weapons, I could just get rid of.
Yeah.
Like the only weapon I even remotely even like is still the wrenching whip. That's about the only weapon. Most of the other ones are just the range is too short, or if it's super long, then I have to deal with a slow wind up.
Yeah,
and I always get hit. And maybe I should start working on more of a survivability build so I get used to dodging a lot.
Well, there's a problem with that because at the higher difficulty levels, you have to deal with malaise, which means that basically, the first time I got, so when I beat it, I beat it on zero. I then tried to do a survivability build in one, and then I beat it on one. And literally the next game, I beat it on two as well with the same survivability build. Because there's like at around two, the survivability builds are just ridiculously good because you get so much, you have tons of health and you get health back quickly. But then at like four boss cells, you have malaise. So it's like every time you take damage, your malaise bar fills up and it's hard to get it to go back down. Sure, so it's, sure. It doesn't, at a certain point, it's like your health damage stops you from being one hit, and then malaise damage is what stops you from actually enjoying a survival build.
Okay.
So that you have to go full tactics because you're going to die if you get touched anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. That's basically what I went through there. A couple times I did. It was just full tactics. You usually can go in double crossbow-matics and just letting them do their thing. Or one double crossbow-matic and one heavy.
Yeah.
that seemed to work well.
Yep, that works well.
Yeah, but nope, my new PS4 run for it, I am making sure I'm just unlocking like the health potions, recycle, all the normal things, some of the mutations I'm unlocking, but yeah, the weapons that I just am not deeming worthy enough, I am just not unlocking them.
And most of the weapons aren't worth taking.
Yeah, and that's actually the troublesome part about when I start up a new game on my Switch, is I'll just get, I'll get like ice shards and the stupid giant spear that you get off of the Hand of the King. Like, this run is dead. It's pretty much immediately. Like, why do I even want to go further? Or I'll get the firebrand where I'm tossing fire, and that's not as fun.
That's one of the best weapons.
Really?
Yeah.
As a secondary, maybe.
I have done quite well with it as a primary weapon, because it's like you can hit stuff indirectly that you don't have to be directly in, you don't have to be directly in front of it.
I don't mean the fire. Are you talking about the fireballs, or are you talking about the one you're just throwing a torch?
The one you're throwing a torch is a great weapon.
It does reload on it.
Well, I mean, you toss a couple of them and then you run away and then they die from the fire.
Sure, sure.
Because it's like on the high boss levels, it's like, yeah, and it's like you have to be careful the whole way. And so yeah, it's annoying on the low levels because it's like, okay, I could kill stuff faster with more dangerous stuff. But in the higher levels, it's like, yep, you're going to be on fire and I'm going to be over there.
Yeah.
Although at the higher levels, that was the traps in general are great at the lower levels, but at the higher levels, the monsters have had enough of your bullshit and just fucking teleport to you.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I know that they changed that for the boss levels, but I can run and drop chats too.
Yeah. Well, have you done the thing where you use the homunculus rune to move your traps around? Because that is just hilarious until you get to three boss cells where the monsters just fucking teleport to you when you try that bullshit.
No, to be honest with you, I barely ever use my homunculus rune.
It's good.
So maybe I should start doing that. And then I'll probably actually make it through boss two.
You can, I mean that trivializes all the levels until the normal monsters start teleporting.
Oh my god, yeah, that's stupid. Yeah, I barely ever use it. Yeah, because
you pop it up, you pick it up, and then you walk it down a ladder.
Down the ladder and just drop it.
Yeah, and then if they kill it, you just sit and you wait for it to respawn, and then you do it again.
See, I've always done the, I'm going to slowly climb down the ladder, and then I'm going to drop both my traps, hope I grab onto the ladder, and climb back up.
Yeah.
That's what I do generally, but... I didn't even think about using the homunculus.
You can do it with the homunculus and be completely safe. I think at three it starts that it's like you do that and like boop and come next to you. Yeah. The first time that happened to me, somebody killed me while my body was off screen because I was at the maximum homunculus range and the zombie just teleported over to me and killed me.
Yeah, the new elites in the new patches suck ass in the elite rooms. Some of them sum it up like a stupid laser bubble around them or around the entire area, so you can't just run away.
They actually nerfed those since the last patch. I was playing seriously.
Well, they nerfed the ability for me to not get hit and get the special bonus at the end of the level.
Yeah,
because I'm not going to be able to be the speedy guy to run through it.
Well, you know that the trick for that is that once you have earned the bonus, it doesn't get taken away. So you clear out the level and then go back and kill the elites.
Oh yeah, I should do that too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, also Dead Cells as long as we're on recommendations, Dead Cells is an amazing game.
It's always a recommendation.
Have we mentioned that before?
I don't know if
we brought that up before.
I don't know. I thought somebody on the podcast brought it up like a year before we all did.
Yeah.
And then I don't know. He doesn't like the game anymore.
I'm a hipster. Now you guys play it.
I have been thinking about having it playing in the background.
Sure. It's a beautiful game.
Because all we're end up doing is just everyone just watch Andy play the game, probably.
That's what first made me Dead Cells catch my eye, was just seeing GIFs of Dead Cells. Like, when I was in early access, just seeing the dude with fucking weird-ass head shooting and kung fu flipping around. I'm like, that game looks awesome. I want it.
The controls for it are just so smooth.
Just like the ocean under the sea is the same as the emotion.
Not saying that Bloodstained isn't smooth.
By Rob Thomas Santana.
Yeah, whatever. That song's like 20 years old.
It is 21. Like 20
years old. I think it is 21.
It's 20.
It's not the best song in the world, though.
You know, this is 20 years old this year.
Hmm.
Galaxy Quest. Hmm. 20 goddamn years old. I want to die.
Sadly, Alan Rickman will not be around for the sequel.
He might be.
I guess they could. They could hologram him.
Or maybe, like, we'll learn to summon the dead. Who knows? Who knows?
And on that note.
What? Oh, that thing makes noise.
You didn't know that?
I did know that. Yeah, I just forgot.
There's a lot of sound effects for them, too. It's
for Toothless.
Yeah, I mean, it don't repeat.
I mean, they repeat eventually.
Eventually.
Yeah.
But it's not like this guy.
I don't think that he's loud enough that people can hear it over the podcast.
Probably not.
So it's just you talking about silence.
Let's do a quiet roar. Roar. Yeah.
This is very old, too.
Yep.
It's but a dinosaur. Anyway, thank you all for listening.
Yep.
Thank you all for watching. We'll be back next week.
Probably.
No Dan here next week, unfortunately. We might see if we can try to get somebody else here.
Maybe someone better.
Maybe somebody who likes to make up stories about how he goes to
Hoo-Hot. Oh, it would be nice if he was here next week, because then he can give me my Uber Corps stuff.
My Uber Corps stuff.
And then we can go to Hoo-Hot.
My Uber Corps stuff.
Yeah, and then we can go to Hoo-Hot.
Without him.
Aw, rude.
No, I'll go to Hoo-Hot with Travis.
I'll go to Hoo-Hot with just about anyone.
I'm going
to
go somewhere now that isn't here.
Aw.
True story.
Thanks, guys. See you later.
Bye.